That was the sounds of the PSG dressing room after defeating Lyon in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. The queens of the Champions League have been dethroned. Long live the queen. This is Relatively Football. That was PSG. I am Flo Lloyd-Hughes. And here is Theo Lloyd-Hughes across the way. We've kind of rejigged the setup, the intro this week. Theo psyched himself out of the intro a little bit, so I had to step in. So here we are. Sunday evening sesh.
One queen of Europe has been dethroned, but the other queen of Europe sits on the other side of my Zoom, all the way from London. Wow. Flo Lloyd-Hughes, sister, what's up?
Yeah, good. The sun is shining in London. It's still a little bit chilly. Pubs are open. And even though I'm not even a very pubby person, I'm currently obsessed with going to the pub.
And I thought you had to be like, I'm currently in a pub.
I was in a restaurant earlier, sort of. Yeah, it wasn't really a pub. But like a lot of my friends are pub people. A lot of them are smokers as well. So like they quite like seeing outside. It's kind of, you know, part of their brand. But I'm not really a big pubby person. But I think having been locked inside for so long, now all I want to do is go to the pub. So before coming on here and recording, I'd spent the last hour and a half just booking every single pub that I could in kind of the vicinity of North East London, because it's booking only at the moment in most venues. So it's a bit of a free for all. So that's how I've spent my Thursday afternoon and watching a bit of FA Cup.
Lots and lots of football on a Sunday. Lots of football this week in general. Well, Flo, it's funny you bring up booking because Paris Saint-Germain have booked their place in the semi-final of the UEFA Women's Champions League.
You didn't cite yourself out of that one. That was a good line.
No. I see, the difference between me and you is you're a consummate pro. I'm much better.
Improv only.
As we alluded to, Paris Saint-Germain won 2-1 away from home against Lyon. And Flo, it was an amazing game, a very emotional, very fierce Queens of Europe with these amazing close-ups, kind of showing exactly how they were feeling. Bouadi, Renard, Christine Endler in the Paris Saint-Germain goal. I mean, it was kind of these amazing legends of European football, and they all kind of were really putting their heart on their sleeve. In case you did miss a game, listener, just to kind of get you caught up, Lyon got off to a perfect start. Kat Macario getting her first Champions League goal, her second for Lyon. Really, really nice team goal, this good passing move, pulling players out of position, and then Kat just gets the tap in from 6 yards. And then that was kind of, it looked like it was going to be Lyon's way. They came into the game with a 1-0 lead from the first leg, that infamous non-penalty call in the first leg. And then Paris Saint-Germain came storming back. It was Gayaro with the first goal, finally getting the equaliser after a lot of great chances. De Brits in particular took the ball round the keeper and smashed it onto the post early on that you really thought was going to be the breakthrough for Paris Saint-Germain. And then going back to this idea of these close-ups, the sort of Hollywood cinematic moments, Wendy Renard puts the ball into her own net from a Diani cross after about an hour. And that really was this moment where it all came crashing down and you thought Lyon are going to go out of the Champions League. Obviously, you know, there's still a lot of time left. Backman comes on and forces a great save from Bouadi. And then really Christine Endler, sort of what was it, the 91st, 92nd minute, makes this amazing save from super sub Melvin Mallard to keep it at 2-1 and to seal the day and create these amazing scenes. Flo, studs have a great meme. Anyone but Lyon, multiple Champions Leagues over and over again. They've been the Queens of Europe. How big a deal is this?
Yeah, it's huge. Lyon have won the tournament, the competition 5 times. They've also beaten PSG in the final twice, 2015 and 2017. Obviously huge domestic rivals as well. PSG looking like they're going to win the league this year as well. I think Lyon have won it the last 14 times or something insane like that. So this is a huge season, and I think it's a huge moment for European women's football. Not only does it sort of signify the end of an era, but I think, you know, the whole studs meme and that whole anyone but Lyon FC, it's all about the fact that it's actually just boring when the same team wins all the time. And I think we saw a taste of how close some teams were coming to dethroning them. I think Wolfsburg did, you know, put up a good fight in the final. Yeah, people have come close, but I think in this game as well, it wasn't like PSG were lucky, and I think that's the most important thing. It wasn't like they've just scraped through and, you know, Leon were piling on the pressure and piling on the chances. Leon only had a couple of good chances. PSG had loads of good chances, and a couple of before they even got the equaliser, I think there were two. De Brits hit the post, didn't she, fairly early on, like a couple of minutes after Macario got that goal. And then there was a header that went wide as well a couple of minutes after that. So they had two really good chances. Then eventually they got the equaliser not long after conceding. So, you know, they never dropped. There was a belief there, but there was also a quality that they had. And I think they were deserved winners, really. And like you said, they only came away from the first leg having lost because it was a really dodgy goal with that penalty. And they've beaten Lyon twice in the league this season. So all things were sort of pointing towards this being, you know, PSG's year. But obviously Lyon, Champions League, they've been there. They've done that so many times. So who knows, you know, what might have happened. But yeah, really good game. And looking forward to Barcelona, PSG semi-final. It's going to be a really good semi-final.
Yeah, 1,788 days since Lyon lost in the Champions League and have been the winners of the Champions League. So kind of let that sink in at just how big a deal this is. And I think, yeah, like you said, the PSG team has so many exciting young players. Sandy Baltimore had a great shot today that kind of swerved just wide. And we're kind of really seeing, you know, Katoto, Marie Antoinette kind of become one of the best players, best forwards in Europe. So it feels like the PSG have waited a long time. They lost in the semi-final last year to Lyon. They've waited a long time for this moment, and it's coming at the right time. Back on English shores, Flo, the football we've been watching, there was a bit of a game on Friday, Saturday, and then a hell of a lot of games today, which, listener, you know, we were not able to necessarily watch them all, but we're going to make sure you stay informed. The Women's FA Cup had its next round, plenty of narratives, not too many upsets. Flo, what were your takeaways from a big, big day of Women's FA Cup action?
Yeah, it's a great day of FA Cup action, and the one game that I thought had the best chance in ending up in an upset did in the end, as Southampton beat Lewis 2-1. Southampton, one of the teams that have been pushing for promotion for two seasons now, but because of the cancellation of the National League seasons because of COVID, haven't been able to get it. I think they are still applying to try and get promoted through other means. But yeah, they're a really strong team. I mean, they've like kind of smashed all their games really up to this point, like screaming out to be promoted out of the upper division within the National League, and then likely to eventually join the Championship at some point. So I did think this is probably the closest matchup. And I think Lewis missed a penalty in the first half as well.
Yeah.
So Southampton kind of had a lot of work to do. And yeah, huge result for them. And hopefully also adds to their, you know, potential promotion credentials. And then the other game that I was hoping might be an upset was the Wolves Blackburn Rovers game, which it got off to a great start. Wolves scored fairly early, went 1-0 up, and also had a really good chance like in the first minute of the game. Jade Cross went through on goal but couldn't finish it in the end. But then it kind of sort of unraveled, a few players picking up injuries. Obviously, all of the National League sides haven't been training. So you do see that gap in fitness massively. And Wolves, you know, they were giving it everything, but they did look leggy. They did look tired. A couple of players had picked up a few injuries, a few niggles, were really struggling. And game ended up being 5-2, sadly.
Some amazing goals by Blackburn today. I thought they looked really, really kind of top quality for a Championship side that kind of around the middle, similar to Lewis, London City Lionesses. Any Blackburn players stand out for you?
Yeah, for me, my goal of the weekend is Georgia Walters' free kick.
Bloody weekend.
In that Wolves game. She scored a free kick for Blackburn Rovers. She just scored a penalty to put Blackburn 4-2 up. And a couple of minutes later, she puts in a free kick, I think maybe from at least like 30 yards out. Really good free kick. And yeah, that quality shone through in the end, because I was a little bit worried for Blackburn Rovers about how poor they started. But once they kind of got into the game, the difference in the gap really did kind of, yeah, shine through. There were a couple of close shaves as well for top tier and second tier sides. Everton only just came through against Durham.
Yeah, I wasn't watching that one, but I was following on Twitter.
Sorensen scoring in the 95th minute, unbelievable against Durham. So that was a bit of a close shave. And then Charlton under Karen Hills came through an extra time against Oxford United, who sadly don't go through. They're a third tier side, I believe. So the only non-championship side that is left in the competition is Southampton, who are in the fourth tier and I believe are hopefully going to be getting potentially one of these like application promotion spots. It's all a little bit confusing there, and I still don't really understand the press release that came out from the FA. But Wolves are also going for this because they've missed out on promotion because of COVID now. So I think in some ways it's shown how strong women's football, kind of the pyramid is, but in the other ways it hasn't, because then you do look at some of the score lines, and yes, obviously the score lines are going to be huge because it's WSL versus National League, and not only on top of that, like not only that, these teams haven't been able to train, so it's a real, some of them is a bit of a mishmash team, and the Wolves commentary team did make that point quite a lot, to say, you know, the girls should be really proud of themselves because they're coming up against full-time players. A lot of the Blackburn squad are full-time players, so it was something to be proud of nonetheless. But yeah, some of the big score lines we saw today: West Ham beating Chichester 11-0. Mackenzie Arnold went into midfield as well.
Love it. Hashtag vibes and heart. After conceding 8 goals in a week, playing in goal for Australia, I really appreciate Ollie Harder saying, "Go on, Mackenzie, have a run around in the outfield."
And I suppose, you know, it can't do no harm in terms of improving her touch and passing and stuff. But if I played for Chichester, I would be a tad insulted by that. Birmingham beating Coventry United 5-1, not the end of the world, I guess. Arsenal beating Gillingham 10-0, kind of expected. Miedema got 100th cap in that one.
Well, I was just going to say, on some of these big results, Man City, I watched a bit of Man City thrash Aston Villa 8-0 yesterday, and they're in the same league. So
yeah, Villa did rest a lot of players though.
Yeah, no doubt.
And Man City went all out. They really went all out. There was definitely, you know, Gareth Taylor was certainly going for it. So yeah, that Man City game you mentioned. Reading Spurs was a close one. There were only a couple
last minute goal for Jess Naz.
Yeah, and I really like Jess Naz. I think she recently got a new contract as well, and she unfortunately spent the whole of the entire first season of WSL injured. Came back from injury this year, has been pretty impressive when she's played, and got a new contract. So I'm hoping she can really push on now, and one, you know, hopefully can desperately bring something to what Spurs have been crying out for in terms of going forward. Another WSL matchup that was really tight, your girl Kagman scoring the penalty in Brighton's 1-0 win over Bristol City.
Don't give them away, because she loves to score them.
Liverpool losing to Leicester City showing that you know, those celebrations haven't killed the spark in their season.
Yeah, so happy about that. I really, really want to see more of the Foxes. Obviously, we're going to get a lot of Foxes next year, so you know, we don't necessarily need to get so hyped, but they're going to play Man United in the next round away at the Lee Valley Stadium. So I think that'll be really, really fun to see.
Middlesbrough 0, Sheffield United 9. Courtney Sweeney and Kirk, having commentated on Sheffield United men the night before their unfortunate relegation, scores a hat-trick in this one. She is a great, you know, great football person. I really enjoy seeing how much media work she's doing as well. I think she's going to be a brilliant kind of star of the future in that regard. So, yeah, some good games. I think positive all in all, to see teams from the National League be able to push second tier and top tier clubs all the way, and you know, we have some non-elite teams in the fifth round, which is great to see.
Yeah, I think Huddersfield obviously deserve a shout out. They're currently top of the National League. We've gone over it before. They're not going to be in the FA Women's Championship next year, but they got a great win, 3-2 over Derby. Derby are really good, thrashing West Brom in the round before, so that's a huge win. And Huddersfield have got Brighton away in the next round, so you know, I love Hope Powell. I actually think Brighton should really target the FA Cup because they're well safe in the league, and this could be a good avenue for them. But I think, I don't know, wouldn't be crazy if Huddersfield upset Brighton in the next round. Karen Hills' Charlton, like you said, have got FA Women's Championship opposition in the next round. Blackburn, who were fantastic today. It's interesting to see how the Karen Hills revolution goes down in South London. And Sheffield United, like you said, Sweetman Kirk, double threat. Good in the booth, good on the pitch. They've got Spurs away. And Spurs, as we know, you know, they like to make big mistakes
at big moments.
very unlucky team. I could see Sheffield United causing an upset, and Southampton have got Birmingham, who are a bit of a crisis club. If you haven't read it, go and read some of Katie White's pieces on The Athletic. Go follow Craig Hadley, and yeah, go check out the Brummers Blue podcast for any more updates on what's going on at Birmingham City. Very historic, legendary women's football club, great in the Champions League, great in the league. We want to see them thrive, and obviously that sadly means people on the men's part doing the right thing. But they're going to be playing Southampton, kind of the national, one of the National League sides to watch in the next round. So that hopefully that gets on a stream and we can check out that, because I think that's going to be a really, really good game. Other games in the next round to watch out for: Chelsea, who I watched a little bit of against London Lionesses, were fantastic. Great to see Hannah Blundell and Jess Carter scoring volleys. What was that about? Love to see that. Arsenal Palace in the next round. Man City versus West Ham. Maybe we'll see a little bit more of Mackenzie Arnold in midfield. All right, you want to hop over to NWSL Corner?
Let's do it.
So the National Women's Soccer League Challenge Cup 2021 is a rolling, and Gotham FC and OL Reign joined the party this week's games. Gotham won away 1-0 at Orlando Pride. Washington Spirit beat new team expansion side Racing Louisville 1-0 at home. Portland won away to Chicago. And OL Reign drew 0-0 with the Houston Dash on Friday night. After quite an explosive opening weekend with red cards, goals, racism off the pitch, which we don't like to see, lots of controversy, this was a much more calm game week two by the NWSL's hot mess standards. So the hot messometer was way down, which is, to be honest, great to see. We have really been unpacking a lot, especially like online and in a lot of spaces in the NWSL women's soccer community after what happened in those first couple of weeks with Sarah Gordon, with the Portland Twitter media team. So yeah, to be honest, I was really glad to just have a week where we could concentrate on the football and concentrate on, you know, positive anti-racist movements. OL Reign put the Black Future Co-op on the front of their shirt. It's going to be on the front of their shirt for the whole of the Challenge Cup. And I see a lot of people doing really fun like sweepstakes stuff when teams score. People are raising money for great causes. So yeah, this was a much more positive week for the NWSL, which we love to see.
It's not just free Mackie D's when people score anymore. It's a little bit more than that.
We'll be on the free hot dogs and t-shirt cannons for now. But yeah, I'd say the highlights on the pitch. I think Chicago, I know they lost this game. Morgan Weaver, obviously, hashtag narrative, had her red card rescinded for her fight with Kristen Emmons. I don't really need to go over that because I feel like there's a lot of it online. But, you know, I think her red card should have stood, if you're just asking for my opinion, listener. She scores a great, great goal. Really nice finish from the former Washington State striker. Kind of long ball, but she does really well to just find the angle without much time to think about it. But I think Chicago had been all right.
I remember reading that NWSL statement briefly and just being so kind of disgusted and shocked about the Sarah Gordon penalties. Well, the penalties towards Chicago Red Stars. But what was the reasoning behind Weaver's card being rescinded?
That's a great question. I believe that they just it got toned down to a yellow. So it was in the ref. They, you know, like a kind of, what do you call it? Like a bureaucratic VAR decision, essentially.
Normally there's like an independent committee that kind of like assesses it, and they believe that, like, that you would have over here with the FA. But I mean, that seems, I don't know.
Yeah,
I think
like
what
I said,
she did is a red card.
Me too, but I go, I guess, you know, it's funny because obviously, which wasn't the point of what the social media team, a lot of Portland fans were doing, which was they were kind of trying to defend some racist language. But it's funny that they after all that hoopla, they ended up actually making the red card a yellow, because it felt like, for me, both players were equally send-offable. So yeah, very funny. And kind of what you're talking about as well, listener, if you did miss it, the Sarah Spain, one of the owners of Chicago Red Stars, and Elise LeHue, the general manager of Gotham FC, were fined for speaking out about the Sarah Gordon thing. They kind of, the end of cell, and I think this is bad, I think it teeters on to censoring and silencing, which we don't really want to see ever. They were fined for commenting on the Sarah Gordon incident and just showing their support at the end of the day. And I think the league's come out and said that players won't be fined for speaking up, but owners maybe, which I don't really understand why.
That doesn't make sense.
It's a slightly worrying sign coming out of the league. But like I said, once we moved on from that, we did have some better stuff on the pitch. Do you see Trinity Rodman's lovely assist and the goal by Ashley Sanchez flow?
Yeah, and I did see some great little analysis of her performance. I think it was Endemol Analytica who did a little review.
Little
and
Opta breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, she is sensational. Bring her over to the WSL ASAP.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of on my own hype train of trying to get Ebony Salmon over to the Chicago Red Stars because they seem so good everywhere apart from in attack. And I'm like, man, if Chicago Red Stars just get Ebony Salmon, they got a chance of winning this whole thing. Because, Sarah Gordon and Casey Kruger, formerly Casey Short, have been so fantastic since coming back. And I feel like they look like, I know they lost this game, but Chicago really looked all right. And Racing Louisville, I think, deserves some credit. Spirit play, if you're looking for teams to kind of keep an eye out for, Washington Spirit are a really fun young team, and they started this game playing a 3-4-3, really attacking, really open. Radar had a tough game, gave away the ball a lot, but they made a change at half time, make it 4-3-3, and they look so much better. And with Ashley Sanchez on one side and Trinity Rodman on the other, and Ashley Hatch, who's a great player as well, that front line is just so fun. And like Flo said, some of the stats coming out from Trinity Rodman, to be 18, walking into the league, first start, and she looks like one of the best players already. I'm speechless, really. It's kind of, you don't want to get too hyped, but it's amazing. Really, really amazing, her control. There was a great gif of her nutmeg online, which I retweeted, and I just was like, it reminds you why you watch the game. It just gives you so much joy and so much life to see players killing it like that.
Yeah, I know what you mean about the hype, because obviously with her surname, there comes some hype in itself. But then I find with football especially, I know there are cases in other sports, but football especially just becomes utterly obsessed with like child prodigies. You know, Project Mbappe, being, you know, the current gag really in men's football. And I just think it must be so much pressure. And like we've seen, I mean, there was a really interesting podcast that Grant Wall did that I would really recommend everyone listens to about Freddie Adu. And it was really interesting. It's like a four-parter that he did about the rise and you know, fall in some ways of Freddie Adu, who was like 15-year-old teenage sensation who made his debut in MLS at like 15 or 16. And there was so much pressure, and he was basically like meant to carry MLS globally and become, you know, the star of the sport. And he had like Pepsi deals, and he was like hanging out with Pele and stuff, doing these commercials. And there's a lot of pressure, so it's a hard thing to manage. But I don't think she's yet being pitched as like the face of women's soccer in the US or the NWSL, which I think is a good thing. So I hope it carries on like that. And I hope that it looks like her star is going to shine pretty brightly this season. And I hope that doesn't kind of sway things in terms of putting too much pressure on her to be the face of the sport in the States and globally. I hope it's, you know, she still gets that freedom to kind of be herself. Because she's already been quite strong in saying, you know, I don't want people to just talk about my dad and frame me in that. I want to be my own person. So I think she seems like she knows what she wants, and she's quite firm on that. So I'm hoping that's going to carry her through, and it won't be people pouncing on her being like, you know, you're amazing and we want you to be the face of soccer, you know.
Well, I think the NWSL, if we kind of isolate it from the US women's national team, has got an interesting choice of who it wants to make the quote unquote sort of faces of the league, as you put it. And so I feel like, you know, someone like Mal Pugh, who's had a lot of injury problems, but is a great example of someone who, and Rose Lavelle, I kind of want to include in this as well, who's also had a lot of injury problems, but obviously has performed at the top level. These are players who are the kind of next generation face of the US women's national team, but they haven't, in my opinion, really been the face of the NWSL. And so I think maybe it's going to be interesting if like Trinity Rodman, Ziara King, I think Lynn Williams is almost the closest thing we have to the face of the NWSL, top scorer, incredible player, won multiple titles. I think Lynn Williams is almost more what the league is about. And maybe it'll be interesting to see if Trinity Rodman kind of takes over as the face of the league, along with someone like Ziara King. And these are the totems of what it is to play in the NWSL. And I'm kind of trying to make that break between the national team and the league.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
No, that makes sense, yeah.
I think what's happening in the WSL, and we kind of talked a little bit about Australia the other day, but like I think it's going to be interesting to see how the NWSL positions itself as a major league, where major league players are going to come and play, and top Americans are going to stay. And I think maybe if we look at the younger generation, this will kind of show us where the league is. And it's your Trinity Rodmans and your Ciara Kings that will kind of make that up. A couple of games to look out for in the NWSL if you are in the United States, or definitely if you're in East Asia, maybe Tokyo, Australia, or even South Asia. These are tough ones for the UK audience. But Tuesday, 4:20, North Carolina Courage play Gotham FC. We've been hyping Gotham so much, and they're going to
go. I did look at buying a Cujo shirt as well, you know.
Oh, but love Jen with
Cujo. So I hadn't even looked at the shipping yet, but it was going to cost me $125 to have Cujo on the back. It was $95 without. So I didn't press order on that. But the Racing, what's mad about Racing Louisville, because I went on their website as well last night, their shirt is like $110 or something, flat out, right? Like no names or anything, just $110.
Yeah, so, I think that might be because they're a newer team, smaller market. Mad. Maybe they bought less shirts, kind of supply and demand sort of thing.
Mad.
Get back to us, kit suppliers.
Yeah.
But yeah. North Carolina Courage, great team to watch, scoring a lot of goals. Jess McDonald's back and firing. They're playing Gotham on Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 11 p.m. in the UK, and Wednesday morning out in Asia. Really, really recommend watching that one. Twitch Worldwide and Paramount Plus in the US. And then the Cascadia Derby is this week as well. Thorns v. Rain, you'll love to see it. Going to get spicy Wednesday, 21st April, 10 p.m. in the East Coast, 3 a.m. in the UK, and again Thursday morning out in Asia. And this one's going to be NWSL after dark. It's going to get weird, might get ravey, maybe we'll see some red cards. Flo, any other business before we get out of here?
I know I was just going to say we're not going to touch on internationals, just because obviously it's Sunday now, happened on Tuesday night, and pretty sure all the people that listen to this podcast would have watched the games, seen the news about all those internationals, and don't need a play-by-play of how bad England were, but we'll certainly factor that in when we do a, you know, another kind of state of the Lionesses address in the lead up to the Olympics, and certainly once the final squad is announced. But I mean, all in all, it was pretty dreadful. I think there's a bigger conversation as well, which is something I've been chatting to Jesse Park Humphreys a lot, which is just about this loser mentality that is so ingrained in England now, I think, across both men's and women's side. And it's something that's been talked about a lot on the men's side, you know, ever since kind of like 66 and the number of times England failed. But I do think it's seeping into the women's side a bit now. And I think it's seeping into them because there is an arrogance about how good they really are. And I think they are underestimating a lot of teams now because they think that they've got to a certain place that they just deserve to win, and I feel like they're not working to win anymore. They think they're not earning their performances. They just think that they should be granted. And I think that's a big kind of culture discussion to be had. And I think, you know, although I didn't like Phil Neville really at all, I do think there was something to be said about his demeanor and the way he tried to bring some of that kind of relaxed Southgate nature to the side and have a bit of fun with it. And at the moment, not only are England bad, but they also are boring and not fun in terms of the team, and not fun to watch either, and they don't like they're having fun. So it's kind of the worst case scenario across all levels.
Save it for the Relatively Lionesses podcast. Yeah, is my answer to that. Coming. We might be back midweek. There's some great games in the WSL going on, and great games in the NWSL, like we said. So we might be back with a little midweek special this week. Otherwise, you can always find us on Sunday after whistles have gone. Yeah, have a great week. Be safe, wear a mask, be nice to people, chase some causes, do some good, and always, always watch women's football. Flo, what are you going to do when I say goodbye?
I'm going to watch Line Duty. Sunday. Sunday.
Another
Line
free
Duty
plug.
Day.
We've got to be getting that. We've got to get some money from Line Duty. We're giving them a lot of good work. All right, listener, we're going to get out of here. You have a great night, morning, afternoon, whatever you are, and be well. See you.